Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great.
Newsmakers is a production of Wisconsin Eye. To keep programs like this free and accessible to all, please consider a charitable gift to wisi.org/donate or text WISI to 44321.
This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello, and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. There is perhaps no more stressful job on election day than that of a county's chief election clerk in a state like Wisconsin. Our results are expected to be close, heavily scrutinized, and likely contested. That's why we are welcoming two veteran chief election officers from Wisconsin today. We have Ashley Raker, who is the clerk in Washington
yes.
County, and Lisa Tellefson, who is the clerk in Rock County, also the vice president of the Wisconsin County Clerks Association. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, welcome to you both. How are you feeling on this election eve? Is it excitement? Is it nervousness? What's going through your mind?
Excited. It's been a long 4 years of planning for this election, and we've worked really, really hard in collaboration with our municipal clerks. So we're ready for tomorrow.
Are you feeling excited? Is there any nervousness on the day before election?
There's always that, what did I forget to do piece. Even though you've checked all of your boxes and made sure everything is done, you never know what election day is going to bring you. But I have to say, I'm actually excited.
I know, Ashley, you've been county clerk since 2017.
Yes.
And Lisa since 2015, so you are veterans. How is this election in your mind different? What's a key difference between this and the others you've administered?
I would say there's more questions regarding the integrity of elections. So it's definitely been an effort to educate the public on our processes. Every municipality is different sized. With everything run at the local level, it's just trying to educate the public on how that works.
What would you say are the key differences?
A lot more in-person voting during absentee. That's a huge shift in how the voters are voting, making their choices this time. And that's shifted. We used to be able to figure out from how many absentee voted, how many people would roughly vote on election day. We can't use any of our old formulas anymore. We have to, but I know it's going to be really heavy turnout.
Right.
So tomorrow, election day, what's the key thing for voters to remember on election day?
Just making sure that you know where your polling location is, become familiar with what's on your ballot. You can do all of that on the state's website, myvote.wi.gov.
Anything else that you would say a voter needs to remember?
So when you're going to have referendums on your ballots, maybe only one, maybe several, review them ahead of time to know what they're about, because at the polling location, the poll workers can't help you. They can send you to a notice, but that might not give you the information you need. So make sure you check that out ahead of time before you go to the polls.
Ashley, do you expect long lines at the polls tomorrow?
So this election is a little bit different, especially in Washington County. Some of our municipalities already have over 60% turnout for absentee voting. If you have 35, 40% turning out on election day, the lines will probably be very similar to August or a heavily attended April election. So for us, it's just a little different. There will be longer lines during those key times, morning, lunchtime, evening, after work hours. But I definitely don't think it'll be as busy as 2016 was.
You mentioned some record early voting for you, too. Does that mean the lines won't be quite as long?
Oh, we didn't have nearly as many people in-person vote as Ashley's County. So I do expect there to be lines, and we're expecting some rain tomorrow. So be prepared to wait and maybe bring an umbrella.
Yes.
So early voting has been a record. Do you think that's a predictor around voter enthusiasm, would you say?
I would say so, yes. People are trying to plan ahead, making sure that they're voting. I think in Washington County, we're heading towards maybe a 97% turnout. I think 2020 was 95, 96%. So I think we'll have record turnout in Washington County for sure.
Are you sensing high voter enthusiasm,
yes,
higher than past presidential elections?
2020 was definitely, there's a lot of interest there, but I do think we're going to beat our numbers from 2020. I'm expecting high turnout.
So let's talk about absentee voting. Tell me about, as of today, returned absentee votes in Washington County.
So we have roughly over 50,000 absentee ballots that have been returned, roughly 54,000 requested, so 3-ish thousand that are outstanding and can be returned until tomorrow when the polls close. Like I said, highest turnout for absentee voting. I think even in 2020, we had maybe 56%. And like I said, we're over that now on average. And then even over that in some of our more rural communities, over 60%. So it's record-breaking for Washington County.
What's been the trend on absentee voting overall in Rock County?
So we have about just under 40,000 that were issued. 22,000 of those were in-person absentees. So not as high as in the absentee in-persons.
Yeah, ours was 40-ish thousand, I think,
right.
In-person.
You had a lot of in-person.
Right.
We only have about 2,000 that are outstanding, which is really low coming into an election. And they have to return those absentee ballots by 8 p.m. on election night or they won't be counted.
That's an important thing to remember. You know, since 2020, there have been some skeptics that raised questions about the security of absentee voting in Wisconsin. What do you think is important for people to know or clarify about absentee voting?
So the absentee voting happens at the municipal level, as everyone knows. Our clerks, accept those absentee ballots in their certificate envelopes. They're sealed, and then the clerks are securing those leading up to election day. They're not opened or processed before election day, so once the polls open tomorrow, that's when they'll begin processing those. So everything is safe and secure leading up to the election.
Would you add to that?
So the only way you get an absentee ballot in Wisconsin is if you request it and meet that photo ID requirement. We don't mass mail like some other states. You have to request it. And you can track your ballot through myvote.wi.gov, and you can see where your ballot's at.
You see if it's been received.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Can you talk to me a little about provisional ballots? What are provisional ballots, and how are they counted? Lisa, I'll start with you.
So provisional ballots are people who come to the polls on election day, and they may have forgotten their photo ID. Or when they're registering on election day and they don't have their driver's license number, which is required if it's not expired. If they don't have that, it's a provisional ballot. They vote a ballot, it goes into an envelope. It doesn't go into the machine. And then they have up until 4 p.m. on Friday after the election to get that information to the clerk or actually bring the ID into the clerk just like they would on election day. And then those can be added in later when we do our board of canvasses at the county.
So provisional ballots that aren't corrected then aren't counted?
Correct. Yes.
Anything else about provisional ballots that you think people find confusing?
I don't think that there's anything too confusing. The election inspectors can explain the process to a voter who needs to utilize that. But other than that, I think that it's pretty straightforward.
Under state law, as you know, communities cannot start counting or processing, rather, absentee ballots until the polls open on election day. This past session, the legislature failed to pass a bill that would have allowed for earlier processing of those absentee ballots. Would that have been a helpful change this time around?
I think if early processing for absentees would have been approved, I think we would have been able to eliminate the central count process, which is something that in Washington County we have been avidly supporting eliminating central count. I think without something in order to process those absentees earlier, especially with the high absentee turnout, we definitely couldn't eliminate that process. So it's definitely something to look towards moving forward. My one concern with early processing is just we have municipalities all different sizes, and again, having something that is a different process in one community versus another, especially with social media and the sharing of information so rapidly, it just causes confusion and questions regarding processes. So that is my only concern and has been. I think this has been a topic since 2016, 2017. It's been ongoing discussion, so.
When you mention that term central count, that's when there's one designated area that is basically processing those and counting those absentee ballots, right?
Correct.
I think you said you have two communities in Washington County that have central count, and in Rock County, how many?
We have two.
Two communities as well. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that central count. Do you expect, because the legislature didn't pass this early processing legislation, that late night ballot dump that people were concerned about at central count locations, do you expect there to be confusion around that again this time? Maybe not in your county, but statewide?
So a lot of the counties that have central count will put a notice on the front of their results, on their results page, that explain that they're going to be provided in phases. I actually have check boxes on my website that warn you that if it's not green with a checkbox, we do not have all of your results, to make sure they understand that. The central count, because they have so many ballots that are going into the machines take longer to shut down. So they have to do the tabulating, and it has to randomize all the images. The more ballots in there, the longer it takes. And some of those high-speed tabulators that are used in some of the large counties, they can't transmit. They have to actually drive those into the counties and have them direct loaded. So there's a delay there also. It's not a dump. It's just it takes longer because there's so many ballots that they're dealing with.
Is that late-night ballot dump perception one of the reasons why you're trying to get rid of central count?
Yes. So perception, for sure. I think there's confusion regarding how our tabulators actually count election results. You know, throughout the day, the machines are counting as you're processing the absentees. There are no results going in anywhere until the very end. So it literally is just how long it takes you to process those absentees. And when you have high numbers, it's going to be later. I think in 2020, we had one of our municipalities that wasn't done until 2 or 3 in the morning. It depends on the quantity. You know, we've adjusted processes at our municipal level as far as how many machines are counting, how many people they have on their election inspector teams to process absentees in order to just streamline that process. So, you know, there's things that we do to try to, you know, eliminate that time, but it just, when you have high turnout like that, especially absentee, it's just inevitable.
Voters just need to expect those votes to be coming in phases, yes, as you say.
Right. So the machines don't actually tabulate until we hit the close poll button at
Correct.
The end of the night.
Yeah.
It's
That's
just holding the data.
Right. A lot. Right.
It's holding it.
Yep.
Until you hit that close poll button, then it does the tabulation.
Right.
So it's not actually doing it as it's going in. It is
right.
taking an image of every ballot, though.
Yeah.
I want to move on to another somewhat controversial topic of drop boxes. Mm-hmm. Our state Supreme Court said that those were once again legal. Do either of your counties have ballot drop boxes in municipalities?
Yes, we have quite a few municipalities that have chosen to have drop boxes, which for us, drop boxes, I think, have the stereotype of being on street corners, random locations. Ours are built into buildings. They've been there for 40, 50, 60 years, or like right outside the front door of buildings. And so for us, they've been in place for a very long time, but just recently received that high attention following the 2020 election.
Are they helpful or are they problematic?
I think they can be helpful as long as there's security surrounding them, protecting those votes that have been placed in the drop boxes. In Washington County, we did create an initiative to fund security cameras for our municipalities if they wanted to utilize drop boxes. So to take that cost off the table and just ensure that there's security, which actually is an overall positive for them, even outside of the election cycle, because these drop boxes, again, are at their front entrances. And so having that security is a good thing.
For another reason, right?
Yes.
So, Lisa, drop boxes use in Rock County?
I believe there's a few. I'm not sure where they all are. I didn't want to put a notice out and post where all of them are in the county on my website. But I agree with Ashley. It's an advantage for someone to be able to return it at any time. They work odd hours. The clerk's office isn't open. They get a chance to return their ballot without having to worry about it getting in the mail and not getting back in time.
We know there'll be more election observers at the polls this year. I think the Republican Party, the Republican National Committee specifically said they've trained more than 5,000 observers who will be out at polls across the state. What do we need to know about the role of an election observer? If I go into the polls, what should I expect?
Sure. Signing in, you get a name tag that says your name and observer. You list your organization, I believe, on the log. And for an observer, I think it's absolutely positive for individuals to come in. If you can't work as an election inspector, observe the process. It's that whole education aspect in teaching people about how an election runs in Wisconsin.
What should voters know about what an observer can and cannot do?
So an observer, they have to be within 3 to 8 feet of where the voter states their name and address, so at the poll books, or from 3 to 8 feet from where they register to vote. So they can hear the person state their name and address. It keeps that transparency in our system. Mm-hmm. They can't engage with the voters. If they have questions, they ask the chief inspector. They can't talk on their phones. They can't wear any campaign gear.
They're just really there observe. To observe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know you both testified at a legislative hearing, a committee hearing earlier this year, and there were a lot of questions about non-citizen voting, and that's been a question across the state and the country, frankly, for the last several years. How do you talk about how you make sure the voter rolls only include eligible voters and only include legal citizens?
So there's a lot of verification that happens on the back end when individuals register to vote. I think there's also a misconception regarding those that are here legally and those are here that are here potentially illegally voting. And I think there's that thought process that those that may not be here legally are those that are voting. And it's very important to note that those that are here illegally are not getting driver's licenses, are not registering to vote. And I think Eric Toney, the district attorney from Fond du Lac County, had said there was one or two instances of someone who was confused regarding the eligibility requirements and did vote. But it's not high. We're not seeing those that are here legally but are not citizens voting. Individuals don't want to jeopardize their status in the United States, or even if they're trying to become citizens, to jeopardize that possibility. The risk is too great.
Lisa, do you think, are there any steps the state could take to kind of alleviate that concern, or is what Ashley just said enough to kind of make people realize this really isn't happening?
Well, it would have to start with the legislature. We can't make up rules. They're the ones that would have to make those changes.
Do you support a change?
I don't know that it's, because it's so rare, that it would even make any difference. Because it is very, very rare that this happens.
More of an educational sort of issue?
I think education would be the biggest piece.
Interesting. Definitely. So we talked a little bit about clarifying misconceptions about absentee voting, but there are more election integrity concerns more broadly. A recent Marist poll said 58% of Americans concerned or very concerned that voter fraud will happen this year. Nearly a quarter of people say they are either not very confident or not confident at all that an accurate election will be held. Lisa, why do you think people feel this way about elections this year?
So they may be hearing how states do run their elections differently than us. And we have a unique system.
In Wisconsin.
We are decentralized, so it's run at the municipal level.
1,900 election workers, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that, other states, so let's take Arizona. They have 15 counties. They have 15 county clerks. The county clerks run the elections. Compared to our 1,850 municipal clerks and 72 county clerks, that's a huge difference in how those are run. And each state sets up their own rules. So in Wisconsin, we have photo ID. We have one of the strictest photo ID laws in the country. We have paper ballot backups for every vote in the state. We have those checks and balances. It's run at the local level. There's so many pieces that are different from other states, and I think that's part of the confusion, is they're hearing things from other states.
And they think it should be standardized, but it's not.
It's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which can be a good thing, right? You know, Ashley, I want to ask you, what are some steps that your county, I know your county had passed a package to kind of increase people's confidence in election integrity. What are those changes?
I'll start even back farther. Following the 2016 election, we had heard concerns even at that time regarding election integrity, the accuracy of our voting machines tabulating and reporting out those results. And so we implemented shortly after random voluntary audits that we did during our county board of canvass. So we've been doing that for quite a long time. However, it was one or two reporting units, very small scale. So following 2020, hearing additional concerns and listening to those and wanting to show that our machines are counting accurately, we implemented a countywide audit in 2022 where we hand counted the governor's race and the U.S. Senate race.
Every single ballot.
Every single ballot, which took, I believe, 3 days. And so not a whole lot of time, but it did show that the machines were counted accurately. I think we had a vote change of one or two, and that was due to human error at that time. So this year, continuing to hear concerns, we implemented our election integrity package, which had several key initiatives, one being funding election night audits. So similar to what we do at the county level during our Board of Canvass, we have offered the municipalities money to implement those random audits at their polling location before they seal everything up and before it comes to the county the next day. So that's one initiative. We are also doing our own countywide statewide audit again, similar to 2022, where we'll be hand counting the presidential race and the Senate race.
Every single ballot again?
Every single ballot again, yes. Mm-hmm. And then we also offered our municipalities additional funding to extend in-person absentee voting hours. So funding their staff time for that. And we actually, our municipalities are absolutely fantastic. Every single municipality participated, and we have over 300 hours, which is why we have that high absentee turnout, the in-person absentee turnout.
And yes. Educational materials.
Yes, yep. And we did a whole mailer to all of the households in Washington County, just letting them know when those hours are. I mean, we had municipal clerks offering evenings, which is not necessarily their normal, but also Saturdays, Sundays, like that is absolutely amazing.
Lisa, I know not all counties have the resources to make the investment like Washington County did. What would you like to see the state legislature do that might help counties across the state to improve election administration or improve thoughts about election integrity?
Education is a big plus, making sure that's in place. I would love to have where we could actually count those absentees the day before the election. And then we can get our results up faster. So we don't have to wait for those last ballots to come in from those central count locations. And I think that would help a lot for people being more secure in how soon the results are up.
Do counties need more funding for these types of efforts?
I think so. Everything is going up in cost. I had to find ways to our entire county budget. We had to find ways to save money, and putting a new piece in, we might need some help from the state to do that, to do those added initiatives.
The Brennan Center is a nonpartisan policy organization that surveyed election workers earlier this year, and they found that 40% of local election officials nationally said they had experienced threats or harassment related to their role in the last election, and one in four of those officials said that they had some fear that their families would be targeted. Lisa, I wanted to ask you, I know that after 2020, you had asked the Sheriff's Department for some protection related to some threatening calls that occurred after that election. How are you feeling this time around?
Well, my daughters no longer live at home. So I have to admit, I'm not worried about that anymore. So that is off the table for one of my worries. But I do believe that I've done a lot of education throughout the community with some of the people who have questioned how the elections are run. And I think that they understand it better now. They understand the process. They're parts of the process now. They're observers. They're being poll workers. Mm-hmm. And I think that information getting to them so they can understand it, mm-hmm. those checks and balances has made a big difference.
Do you have any concerns for safety for your election officials this year?
So we've been planning, obviously, for years for this election, working hand-in-hand with our local law enforcement, our sheriff's office specifically, and then our municipalities have been working with their law enforcement agencies as well. And so I think just being prepared is key to this election as far as having law enforcement involved, aware of what the rules and laws are regarding election processes. And so I think that is very important, and just having that open line of communication with them.
I know other election officials across the country have been coordinating with law enforcement. Is
yes.
that also true in Rock County? What does that look like?
Well, actually, it's not just through Rock County. It's through state. Yeah. There's state and federal organizations backing us up and giving us the training we need and giving us resources and guidance. So it's not just at Rock County. It's throughout the state.
Is there some specific sort of safety precaution that people might notice this year that was different than 4 years ago?
The only thing I'd say they might notice is the traffic patterns in their polling locations might slightly be different. And it's there to help protect them. It might be really subtle, but they may not realize that they did that on purpose.
So here's the magic question. When do you think that you will be able to report final results from your county after election night, those initial results? What time?
Historically, it's been around 9:30, but I would say maybe 10:30.
A little later.
Yes,
this year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, what's your answer?
Are you thinking all of our results or just the initial one? Because the initial one, I'm hoping I have one up at least by 8:30.
Right. That's partial, though.
That's a partial one. I'm hoping one or before. I just can't read it. I've had some elections come in really early and some come really late. It's we don't know until Election Day.
It really
going
just
to happen.
Depends. Right. So many unique factors this year, too.
Right.
Election analysts have been saying it's not just about Election Day. There could be barriers and challenges the day after. I've been reading and listening to conversations about that process to certify the election that maybe a lot of people aren't really very aware of. Can you talk about what happens after the ballots are counted on election night? There is a certification process that happens again, right?
Right, yes. So the ballots are secured and sealed election night. The municipal clerks bring their election materials to the county the following day, where we then have a scheduled meeting of our Board of Canvass that will go through everything, all the inspector statements and log files and results on the tape, making sure that we have checked and double-checked everything that's being reported as totals to the state of Wisconsin. And so that happens for us the Tuesday after the election. So 1 week after, and we actually, you know, it's a public meeting, but we also live stream our meetings. So if you can't come in person, you can watch it online from the comfort of your couch, depending on the weather. And so it definitely is a very open process to certify. And our Board of Canvass is made up of a Republican appointee and a Democrat appointee. And then myself. So,
in some states, election deniers have refused to certify elections in that process that Ashley just talked about. Do you expect barriers of that type to happen in Wisconsin this year?
I'm not. I've worked, for example, my Board of Canvass. I've worked with them for 4 years, and they understand the process. I made them go through my baseline chief inspector training. One of them was a chief inspector. They understand the process that goes through and the checks and balances through our polling locations to get to where we are. So I don't see that as a barrier, at least not in my county. And I've not heard of it anywhere else that it will be either.
No.
Well, I guess that's good news for Wisconsin. Election watchers also talking about these increasing threats of artificial intelligence, misinformation from foreign influence. Have you seen any of that this year?
Yes, we've seen quite a bit on social media. I mean, we've seen misinformation since 2020. And this goes with, again, Wisconsin being so differently set up than all of the other states is how we process elections. And that alone creates that level of scrutiny and misinformation, questioning the process just because it's not done that way in a different state. I think 2020, we had the ballot marking pen question or issue or concern that people had regarding felt tip markers being used. And that is what we recommend to utilize for marking a ballot in Washington County. And so Arizona had that issue. People saw it on social media. And then were checking my vote to see if their votes were counted, registered as far as they had voted or participated. And again, Wisconsin is, our system is very manual. Our clerks, it takes them a week to enter that information in. And so there was just a lot of questions regarding the process. And again, that was where we, you know, try to educate the public, share that information out there. Education is truly powerful in the integrity of our elections.
Lisa, how do conspiracy theories or misinformation, how does that impact your ability to do your job?
I spend a lot of time answering questions, and whoever calls me and asks me to explain something, is this how this works or is that how that works, I will take the time and thank them for calling and checking it out.
It takes more time, but it's just a new part of your job or a bigger part of your job.
Bigger, because we've always done that. We've always explained how things work, but it does take, there's more people asking those questions.
Right. I was reading that your jobs have become increasingly complex. Over the last several years, I counted new skills, cybersecurity, public records requests, which I'm sure you always had to do, but maybe it's a bigger part of your job. You have to know every facet of the law. You've got public relations, transparency components, auditing. What's one new thing you've learned in the last 4 years?
I would say it's just ways to educate the public is a huge thing that we've had to just communicating and getting that education out there.
You're more of an educator than you used
to be. Exactly. And I think that's a positive, really. I mean, in 2020, I worked at the Dane County recount and talked to a lot of the individuals that were observing. And I was asked quite a bit what would be one key takeaway. And it's always work as an election inspector. You know, I think, too, working with our youth has been something new over the last handful of years, trying to engage the youth in the election processes, whether that's a I voted sticker competition that we did, or getting those 16, 17, 18-year-old high school students working at the polls, I think has been new and great. I mean, that's a great thing to have our youth involved.
I'm going to ask our director to put up some key information about voting tomorrow. Lisa, I want to ask you the same question, though. What's something new that you've learned in the last 4 years in your role?
Just when people come in and they've got these questions, I'm always, and I train my staff with this too, is that you never know what they heard or how they got there to that conclusion. And just take the, just give them the facts of how it works and explain it all. And that helps clear up a lot of the anxiety that those people have about what they heard in those misconceptions. Right. So it's, again, it's training in lots of different levels.
Lots of different levels.
And things, too, I'll add, things are constantly changing in regards to election laws. I mean, we saw it with drop boxes being banned in 2022 to being reinstated this summer. Just being up on those changes and then helping educate our municipal clerks as well. You know, there's so many different facets to a job or a role as a clerk, and so making sure we're up on all of those law changes and being able to share that out with our municipalities too.
Well, we wish you both the best of luck tomorrow, your biggest day of the year. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. You have been watching a production of Wisconsin Eye, your unfiltered window into legislative deliberations and public policy programming, where our mission is to provide Wisconsinites an opportunity to access the legislative process and connect with conversations that inform our citizenry. Please consider supporting our mission, and thank you for watching. Wisconsin Eye, policy made public.